It is John Gibson, and once again, welcome to our new listeners in Salisbury, Maryland, and environs, listening on News Radio 1470 WJDY. This will be all new to you, but you get used to it really fast. One of the things I've noticed about Trump voters since the election is they kind of don't get what's really going on in this country. And what's going on is those Democrats and progressives and anarchists and Black Lives Matter people and that whole bunch that thinks the election was stolen from them, they really hate you. They really don't like you at all. They don't like the states you live in. They don't like what you do for a living. They don't like you personally. They think you're racist. They think you're a dying breed of white alt-right voters that are drinking and smoking and hamburgering and opioiding yourself to death. And the quicker you die, the happier they'll be. You only have to listen to people in California or Oregon or Massachusetts or upstate New York. I should say downstate New York, Manhattan and that area to understand this, the attitude of blue America toward red America is just entirely rejectionist. There's a fascinating piece in the Daily Beast of all places. I mean, it's hard to believe they'd publish it, but it's the over the headline is outside the bubble, and the headline is the arrogance of blue America. And the author Joel Kotkin writes, one of the other things he notes right away near the top is in blue America, the top tiers, the people who are getting all that dough, no longer need the overall prosperity of the country to personally do well. They can become enriched and do without the rest of you, and the sooner the better. The title is The Arrogance of Blue America. The author is Joel Kotkin. Joel Kotkin is a presidential fellow at the Urban Futures at Chapman University. Also the executive director of the Center for Opportunity and Urbanism. Opportunity Urbanism. Mr. Kotkin, welcome to the program.
Nice to be here. I'm actually speaking from, well, what is kind of blue America, but Orange County, California.
Yeah, it used to be pretty red America, but things change even in California. So could you just describe this overall concept of the arrogance of blue America?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, what you have is you have a phenomenon that's going on in which people are looking at the election result. And of course, you know, you can talk about the presidential result, but you have to look at the congressional result and the governors. And they say, who are these people who are voting for them? I don't know any of them. I mean, what we have is a media, for instance, and entertainment industry, and even the large parts of the tech industry that are so concentrated in a few places, they don't know anyone who voted for Donald Trump. They don't know anyone who voted Republican. They don't know anybody who's a social conservative. So they live in a kind of isolation, and the election was a wake-up call. Hey, you know what? The rest of the country isn't going along with this. And so what they do is instead of saying, hey, how can we better communicate, which at least, you know, some people like Bernie Sanders have been saying, they really sort of say, well, we just can't wait till these people die off. And eventually there won't be enough whites left and there won't be enough middle class homeowners left so that we'll basically have complete control of the country. And that's basically the formula.
What are they so angry about? Just that they don't actually know people who live in these places and think like this, or that they really hate those places and hate that thinking?
Well, I think it goes together. Yeah, I mean, they don't. These are people that when you and I sometimes have, I say I go to Houston quite often. But why would anyone go there? You know, there are whole parts of the country that they reject as being backward or being or even what people do. Like, for instance, to them, somebody who runs a social media site, which is essentially advertising, that's somehow noble and good. But somebody who actually like builds cars or grows food or God forbid, actually creates energy, those people are bad. And what they do is sort of like a lower form of economic existence. So there's an enormous sort of media out there that's really telling these people, well, what you do is relevant. These other people are going to go extinct. And it has a kind of almost like a Superman Ubermensch kind of mentality, which is we are sort of the gifted, the anointed, and eventually we're just going to have to get rid of these other people.
Well, you know, give me an example of how it works, let's say, in California, which has, you know, coastal elites and then a big inland agricultural area. How do the state's policy favor one and punish the other?
Well, one of the biggest things, obviously, is energy. If you decide that all energy has to be renewable and not going to use oil and gas, and California, by the way, has an enormous amount of oil, then what you do is you turn around and you say, okay, if you have, we're going to make energy very expensive. Well, if you live in Marin County, or if you live coastal Orange County, West Los Angeles, you don't really use a lot of energy because the climate's very mild. But if you live in the interior where it gets really hot, you're going to run your air conditioner all summer at a pretty high level. So, in other words, what we do is we create a situation where the poorer people pay more for the virtue seeking of the rich. Then we say we're not going to build any more suburbs. So guess what? The housing is going to become incredibly expensive because most people actually want to own the house. So we're not going to do that. It makes if you're a homeowner on the coast, that's great because it keeps the prices high. So the whole system is tilted to benefit, basically to benefit San Francisco, to put it in a nutshell, and to hurt Fresno. I mean, if you were going to boil it down, that's what it is. It's help West LA and Beverly Hills and hurt the Inland Empire. I mean, this is the kind of thing that you do. And of course, the great irony is progressives make such a big deal about their concern for the poor, but actually the poor, not just the rural poor, but the urban poor, don't benefit from any of this either.
Well, so is your conclusion from looking at all of this, and I realize this is your field of study, that they're actually going to win, the blue arrogant people are going to win? They actually are going to either, you know, colonize the great interior when they move out of San Francisco because it's too expensive, or that they're going to outlast the people that we just saw rise up and vote the way they voted?
Well, I think the big problem is demographics. If millennials continue to vote the way they are, and as the older generation, which voted for Trump, begins to die off, there's a lot of blue advantages. There is the ethnic advantage, and there's the educational and I think the cultural advantage. You have a media that, with a few exceptions, is almost outrageously progressive in its views. I mean, the New York Times is like, sometimes feels like reading Pravda. And then you have the universities who are inculcating values that are completely hostile to the middle part of the country. So, the kids go to school, they're exposed even in grade school and high school to an ideology that is inculcated in them. So those are tremendous things for long term for the conservatives or Republicans to deal with, because you can have all these kids coming out of the schools and then in the media that, I mean, look, if you go to the Academy Award, it was like an anti-Trump rally.
Triumphalists, do they understand that they are being serviced by these people they hate? Just for instance, they couldn't eat without them.
Well, of course, Well, what they'll do is they'll say, you know, and we already see this in California, as agriculture, some of the agricultural sectors begin to become stressed by the environmental and other rules, they just move to Mexico. So your strawberries don't come from California, they come from Mexico. I mean, the state of California is going to chase the cattle industry, which was the first industry in California. They're going to chase the cattle industry out because, you know, cows fart too much, and they're obviously creating global warming. So what's going to happen is you'll have people still eat beef, except it will come from Nevada or Texas or Arizona. Now, the great irony is environmentally, it's better off to do, you're better off doing it here closer to home in a milder climate. But I think that the animus towards all these industries is so strong that they would just as soon have those industries done elsewhere.
Do you think that the people, the red staters that you talk about, the people who voted for Trump, the conservative base of this country, do you think they understand how much they're despised by these progressives?
I think they're I'm not sure that they would know it consciously, but I think they intuit it. It's hard to, you know, like look what's happened with ESPN, you know, where it's, you know, become, you know, the first Maoist sports station. You know, I mean, they're clearly people get turned off. The thing about the middle class in America, and I'm more concerned with them than I'm not particularly a conservative myself. The problem for the middle class in America, when they get upset, they just walk away. They don't riot. They don't demonstrate. They have no real expression media wise. So what you end up with is a situation where, you know, more and more, you know, people are, you know, they're just going to drop out. And I think you may see a lot of that too in the next few years, you know, where people will simply just give up. And the one reason that Trump was elected, and I'm not a big Trump guy, but one of the reasons Trump was elected is he got people who had been disengaged to give them an alternative. Because, you know, frankly, traditional, you know, Bush-type conservatives weren't offering them anything either.
So what happens when a progressive person realizes what you're talking about in this piece and says, why don't we, reach out and try to understand those loathsome red staters?
Well, I think there are, you know, some who do. Again, I would refer to Bernie Sanders, who comes from a rural state. Now, it's now a very liberal rural state, but still a rural state. He understands that, you know, he can go and campaign for the guy, a Democrat, running for mayor of Omaha. He doesn't mind helping him, even though the guy is pro-life. Then there are others who will say, no, you can't support anybody who doesn't support everything. I mean, you know, so I think a lot of it is really going to be a question of whether or not the Democrats are willing to sort of allow their, you know, their more extreme constituencies to determine everything. If that's the case, they're going to have a hard time. If they go on economic issues and focus on that, then I think they have a much better chance.
Speaking with Joel Kotkin, his piece today in the Daily Beast is really fascinating. It's called The Arrogance of Blue America. He says, if you want to see the worst impacts of blue policies, go to those red regions like upstate New York or inland California in states those blue politicians control. Mr. Kotkin, I appreciate your time today. It's a fascinating piece.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, we're going to take a break, and I'll just ask you, you know, listening to Joel Kotkin and listening to his observations in this piece today, do you understand, as a red state Trump voter, do you understand how much those blue staters hate you? 888-788-9910. Do you get it? Gibson on Fox.